is. All right. How many enjoy getting into God's Word? All right. Tonight's message is Joseph kept no record of wrongs, and neither should we. You know, as long as we are alive and have breath in our lungs, offenses will come. It's a guarantee. Jesus stated this in Luke 17, verse 1. It is part of life. I'm going to give you some for instances here tonight, some hypotheticals. Say someone gives you an item, a gift, maybe like a used bicycle. This person says, you know, you walk a lot. I want to give you this bicycle so that you can get from point A to point B without walking so much. And she gives it to you and she blesses you with it. And a week later, she comes to you and says, you know what? That bicycle really had sentimental value to me. I really wanted some money for it, like $100. And she guilt trips you. And so you take a little bit of the money that you have and you give her the $100. That's downright offensive, right? Another hypothetical. Maybe as a child, you were told by a parent or maybe a grandparent that you were a mistake.
Yeah.
And that wrong word has played in your mind over and over and over again, crushing your sense of self-esteem. That word was a wrong word, right? Another for instance, maybe you're trying to work on your physique. And you've been working at it, and a long-lost friend comes across your path. And he says, man, it looks like you've really put on some weight lately. Not what you were wanting to hear. It was insulting, right? Or maybe you have a jealous coworker. These are just for instances. At work, who lies about you to your boss. And trying to damage your reputation. That's wrong, right? Lying about somebody to damage their reputation. And so, thinking about these hypotheticals, you get offended. Maybe you got offended in the last hour with someone. Maybe in the last year, maybe in the last 5 years, and that wrong, that offense they did to you keeps playing in your mind over and over and over again. You know, if anyone had reason, justification to be offended, it was Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. So, from Genesis 37, we find out that Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, verse 3. Because he had been born to him in his old age, he made for him an ornate robe. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Couldn't speak a kind word to him. They hated him. They held a grudge against Joseph. And then Joseph has some dreams and he says, listen to this. We were binding sheaves of grain out on the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Tells him another dream. I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. So they understood it to mean that one day he would rule over his brothers, and they hated him all the more for those dreams. His brothers hated him. They couldn't speak a word to him. They held a grudge against him primarily because their father Jacob favored him above them. So they planned some offenses against Joseph. They were planning to do evil against their brother Joseph. So if you read him Genesis 37. I encourage you tonight to read the story of Joseph this week. Read Genesis 37 through 50. It's awesome. I would encourage you to read it. So they started planning, these brothers, these jealous brothers, started planning evil deeds against Joseph. They planned to kill him. We see that in verse 20 of Genesis 37. That's wrong. In verse 23, we see that they stripped him of that ornate robe. That was wrong. In verse 24 of Genesis 37, they threw him into an empty cistern. Reuben was the one that was coming to his defense. He said, let's not kill him. Reuben said, let's just throw him into a cistern. It's It's a container. So another wrong. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, in verse 28. That was wrong. And then in verses 31 through 35 of Genesis 37, they took the ornate robe and dipped it in the blood of an animal to deceive Jacob into thinking that Joseph died. They did wrong after wrong after wrong after wrong to Joseph. How many here tonight would agree that if anybody had reason to get offended, it was Joseph, right? Then we find out at the end of chapter 37 that the Midianites sold Joseph to Potiphar of Egypt, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. So, let me say it again. Do we agree that Joseph had a right to get bitter and be offended with all the wrongs his brothers did to him? I would say so, right? He had every right to get bitter and be offended with all the wrongs done to him. But on the contrary to getting bitter and offended, let's see Joseph's response to the wrongs that his brothers did to him. Let's look at his response. So, a little bit of background. Years had passed. Years had passed after Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Years had passed. And Joseph was elevated to second in command to Pharaoh. We find in Genesis 41, verse 43. After he correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dream in Genesis chapter 41. So, tonight we're going to read Genesis 50, looking at Joseph's response. Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. So, he's in a powerful position. Second in command to Pharaoh. God elevated Joseph in leadership. So, Genesis 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, now Jacob had died, they saw that their father was dead. They processed their father's death. They had grieved their father's death. They said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? Verse 16, so they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. You know, his brothers were afraid that Joseph would hold a grudge for the wrongs they did to him. They thought that Joseph would try to take revenge against them, and they tried to convince Joseph that their father, Jacob, all of the same blood, asked that Joseph would forgive the wrongs that they did, that the brothers did to him. And it says Joseph did what when the message came to him? It says he wept. He might have been weeping because he might have been thinking, you know what, I love you, I forgive you. After all, I helped bring you through the famine. Or he could have been weeping tears of joy due to their repentant attitude. And then verse 19 of Genesis 50, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? In other words, he was saying, I'm not in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he assured them and spoke kindly to them. So, what was Joseph's response to the brothers who were repentant? These brothers who at one time, who really did him wrong. What was Joseph's response? He said what? He said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? In other words, he was saying, I am not in the place of God to take vengeance against you. Because guess what, friends? Vengeance is God's. Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance is God's. Ultimately, God will repay. Don't take vengeance against your offender into your own hands. God will make all things right in the end. And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is releasing yourself of any vengeance you would want to take against your offender, against the person who has done you wrong. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So for the next few moments, I want to talk about some observations concerning forgiveness from Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. So in Genesis 50, we see two different camps. We see the camp of the grudge holders. Who were the grudge holders in this account? From Genesis 37 forward. Who were the grudge holders? The brothers, right? When they saw that their father, Jacob, favored Joseph, they did what? They hated him and could not speak a word to him. So you got the camp of the grudge holders, Joseph's brothers. We see that in Genesis 37, verse 4. And then you've got the camp of the forgivers, the camp of Joseph. I want to be of Joseph's camp. Part of the camp of the forgivers. How about you? How about you? You know, Joseph, as I said a few moments ago, he released himself of taking revenge on his brothers. In verse 19, Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" In other words, he was saying, "I'm not in God's place to take vengeance in my own hands. God will repay in the end. God will make all things right." Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's the same for us. If somebody has done you wrong, they spoke a wrong word into your life, like you were a mistake, or somebody lied about you, or somebody demeaned your appearance, something like that, an offense, a wrong thing that has come into your life, don't retaliate. Don't pay back. Don't try to get even with the offender, because vengeance is God's. God will repay. Is that making sense here tonight? You know, with our little boy, I was having a conversation with him a while back over the dinner table, and he's now 7 years old, and he was mentioning some time back about how somebody in school did something to offend him, wronged him. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he likes to talk. So he talked about this other person at school who offended him. And I just told him there at the dinner table, I said, "You know what? We're a Christian family. We don't believe in paybacks. Repeat that." And he says, "We don't do paybacks." So we as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we do not pay back, right? We do not retaliate. We do not take vengeance against our offenders. We leave that to God. Is that making sense here tonight? Amen. So Joseph forgave. He released himself from retaliating against his brothers who did him wrong at one time. He forgave, and so should we. Now I'm going to read you an illustration that kind of goes right in line with this message tonight. It's from the speaker's quote book from Our Daily Bread. Under the cover of a dark Philippine night, three teenagers broke into a van owned by a Christian woman. The trio stole some clearly identifiable items and later sold them on the street. Soon the police were notified about the sale of the stolen goods, and the boys were arrested. So what did the woman do? Seek revenge against the young thieves? No. She visited them in jail, started a Bible study with them, and led each of them to faith in Christ. Then she asked for permission for them to be let out of jail under guard each Sunday to go to church with her. Amazing, isn't it? She did not seek out revenge. She forgave, and so should we. If somebody has wronged you in the last hour, in the last year, in the last 5 years, or 25 years ago, don't seek out revenge. You need to forgive. You need to forgive the person who has done you wrong. Not only did Joseph forgive, here's another observation. Not only did Joseph forgive, but he went one step further. He practiced what Jesus preached in Matthew 5:44 in the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:44? He said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you." Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44. Do good to those who hate you. Not only did Joseph forgive his brothers and release himself of vengeance against them, he went one step further and he did good to his brothers. He helped provide for them during the famine in Egypt and Canaan and settled them in Goshen within Egypt. Remember that? I encourage you, read Genesis tonight, this week, Genesis 37 through 50. Not only did he forgive them, let me say it again, he went one step further and did good to those who once hated him. He provided for his family, for his brothers during a time of famine in Canaan and Egypt. Is that making sense here tonight? You see, Joseph, here's another observation, Joseph kept no record of wrongs, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Now, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 13 writes a beautiful chapter on the agape love of God, the unconditional agape love of God. And he states this at the end of verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, love, the agape love of God, keeps no record of wrongs. It literally means that the agape love of God does not think repeatedly about the evil and the wrongs done to it. You see, Joseph kept no record of wrongs against his brothers. I wonder when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, if his mind was referencing back to Joseph, who kept no record of wrongs. You see, Joseph, listen to this, Joseph was not looking through the rear view mirror of his life. The rear, you're like tonight thinking, what do you mean the rear view mirror of his life? In other words, he wasn't looking back at the wrongs done to him by his brothers. He was looking straight on and able to move ahead with his life. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you live looking back through the rearview mirror of wrongs done to you, you will not be able to move ahead with God's plan for your life. Let me say it again. If you live looking back through the rearview mirror of wrongs done to you, you will not be able to move ahead with the plan and the purpose and the destiny that God has got for your life. You see, unforgiveness, bitterness, thinking always of wrongs done to you can block God's blessings from flowing into your life. You've got to see your life like a water pipe, like a pipe, say, under a sink. If the pipe under a sink has a clog, let's say maybe it's a hairball or some type of clog in that pipe, that water is going to stay in the sink, right? It won't drain out. But once you remove the clog, the water can flow through. See your life like a water line, like a water pipe. If you're living with bitterness and unforgiveness toward an offender, toward somebody who has done you wrong, you will be blocking the blessings of God from being able to pass through to your life. Is that making sense tonight? You see, God promoted Joseph, ultimately, God promoted Joseph to second in command to Pharaoh, Genesis 41, verse 43, because he was of a forgiving and gracious spirit. He did not hold against his brothers the wrongs that they did to him. He held or kept no record of wrongs. He did good to those brothers who once hated him. And because he was of a forgiving spirit, a gracious spirit, the blessings of God flowed through his life. Through a series of events, we find in Genesis 37 through 50 that God promoted him, like I said, to second, to an influential place of leadership, second to Pharaoh. And through the wisdom that God gave Joseph, he was able to bring the people of those lands, Canaan and Egypt, through a time of famine. Friends, I'm here to ask you tonight, do you want the blessings of God to flow through your life? Raise your hands if you do. then you've got to let go of the past. You've got to stop looking through the rear view mirror of your life at the wrongs that others have done to you in the past. And you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. Here's another thing I have to mention tonight. It is not easy. You've got to cry out and say, God, I cannot do this on my own. God, in my own flesh, I want to pay this wrongdoer back. I want to retaliate. I want to get even. I want to take vengeance into my own hands, but don't do it. Say, God, in my flesh, I want to do those things. But God, I pray, God, I pray that you give me the strength to forgive the person who has done me wrong. Give me your divine enablement by the Holy Spirit to forgive the wrongdoer, the offender in my life. Say it with me tonight. God, I pray, I cry out to you that you give me divine empowerment by the power of your Holy Spirit to not retaliate, to not get revenge against the wrongdoer in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And I tell you tonight, friends, that if you cry out to God, you pray that to God, God will give you his strength when you're weak to forgive the person who has done you wrong. And he'll give you even more strength to do good to the person who has been hateful toward you. Another observation. When you're tempted to get bitter and retaliate against your offender, remember how God forgave you and I of an insurmountable mountain of wrongs we committed against him. Let me say it again. When you're tempted to get bitter and retaliate against your offender, remember how God forgave us of an insurmountable mountain of wrongs that we committed against him. You know, by Christ shed blood on the cross and our faith in him, God forgave us, and so should we forgive the offenses of others against us. Whenever you're tempted to want to get even, to want to pay back the wrongdoer, remember what God did for you and for me. He threw our sins into a sea of forgetfulness when we put faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the sins we committed against God were so much greater, think about it this way, of the sins that others commit against us and God forgave us. So should we forgive others. What does Paul write in Ephesians 4:28, he says this. I'm sorry, 4:32, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. My question to you tonight is this. Do you call yourself a follower of God? If so, raise your hand. If you are a follower of God, a disciple of Jesus, raise your hand. If you are a follower of God, then you need to be an imitator of God, especially in the area of forgiveness. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God, imitators in the area of forgiveness. Right? You call yourself a disciple of Jesus, then you need to follow Jesus in the area of forgiving your offender. Remember, forgiveness is not easy. It grinds against the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to do it. The flesh is prideful, but when you get weak and you can't do it, cry out to God and say, God, I can't forgive in my own strength. And God will divinely empower you by the Holy Spirit to forgive the person who has done you wrong. Another observation, a final observation from Joseph's spirit of forgiveness. Verse 20 of Genesis 50. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. What did Joseph do with the scripture I just read? What did he do? He put a positive spin on the wrong done to him. He said, you intended to harm me, brothers, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is being done, the saving of many lives. God works all things together for the good of those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. I'm here to tell you tonight, have the attitude of Joseph. Respond like Joseph did in this scripture to your offender. Put a positive spin on the wrong done to you as Joseph did. So, use the wrong spoken to you, done to you, as a catalyst to improve your life in some area. So maybe that hypothetical I gave you earlier of the lady who gave you a gift and then was wanting payment a week later. See it as maybe you helped her buy groceries for her family that week. If you see it that way, the offense becomes less offensive to the point where it doesn't feel offensive at all anymore. Maybe for the person who demeaned your physical appearance and said you look like you've gained a whole lot of weight, use that wrong word spoken to you as a catalyst to start exercising like you've never exercised before, to start cutting out the carbs and the sugar like you've never cut them out before. And if you do so, the offense, that wrongful word spoken to you concerning your physique, becomes less offensive to the point where it doesn't feel like an offense at all anymore. It actually looks like a blessing because you were able to improve your life physically. Is that making sense here tonight? Joseph took the wrong that was done to him and he spun it around and gave it a positive twist. Take the wrong that was done to you and put a positive spin on it. Use that wrong thing done or spoken to you as a catalyst to improve your life in some area. Joseph did it. He was a man, a human just like us, and so we can do it. And as I said earlier, I'll say it again, just cry out to God and say, God, I need your strength to forgive. I need your strength to forgive. I need your strength for me to release myself from taking vengeance against the wrongdoer. God, I need your strength, your power, for me to take the first step forward in doing good to the person who has hated me, who has wronged me so much. And then put a positive spin on the wrong that was done to you. Did that make sense here tonight? Did you get something tonight? All right, all right. As you were listening to the message tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Forgiveness and the power to forgive your offender begins with accepting Christ as your Savior. If you've never accepted Christ, but you want to do so tonight for the first time, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you're wanting to do so for the first time, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. Maybe you accepted Christ at some point in the past, but maybe you got upset with God. You got upset with somebody. And tonight you want to recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. All right. Don't be afraid. Don't be. Those raising your hand, stand up. Stand up. All right. Anybody else wanting to follow their lead? Doesn't matter what somebody next to you thinks, only what God thinks about you really matters. Remember this, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven? If not, you need to stand up. If God is whispering to you by his Holy Spirit, don't ignore his voice. Heed the voice of the Spirit and re-give your life to Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Those standing up, come to the altar. Come to the altar. All right. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you've died upon the cross for my sins. I've followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength to follow you the rest of my days here on this earth. When I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Give him a hand tonight. Those who recommitted your lives to Christ tonight, there's certain things spiritually you should do to remain close to Christ. You need to be getting into the Word on a consistent basis. Continue coming to church services. Find good, solid Christian friends, all right? And reach out beyond yourself to somebody who is in greater need than you. May God richly bless you. Who's closing off the service tonight? You want to come? Are you wanting to come up? Go ahead. You want to speak?
So give brother.